what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Friday, June 12th, 2026. Hope you all have had a great week, a great start to your morning. And we're wrapping up the week today because, it's Friday, that's why. But, Yankees Blue Jays tonight in Toronto. We're going to preview that. Of course, first time in Toronto since we were there for games 1 and 2 of the 2025 ALDS. Both teams look very different since the last time they were there. We'll preview that in its entirety. I still don't have, or none of us, I don't think, have starters for Toronto. Who's going to be pitching for them? We do know for us it'll be Ryan Weathers, Cam Schlittler, and Will Warren. But yeah, no starting pitchers listed via MLB at bat. I try to find it out on Twitter as well. I got nothing. So if you know who's starting for Toronto this series, any of the games, please do let me know. I know we're missing Dylan Cease, though. But yeah, still waiting for the announcement on that. Anyways, another episode of the Morning Yankee Show, Friday episode. Hope everybody is doing well. Of course, we're also available on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of that. Live 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And yeah, allow me a little bit because, to be honest, it's kind of a slow news day. Off day yesterday, we covered a lot. Also, a new tier list video, an updated tier list video is out on the channel. You know, it was only like a 10-day gap between the tier lists. And maybe that's how frequent we'll do them. Maybe we'll do them more often than not. But there's so much difference in how I felt about certain players' performance over the last couple weeks. I wanted to do an updated one. So that's why we put that out yesterday. And also, I was bored. I wanted to talk some Yankee baseball. And obviously, there was no game to do so with because we were off. But now we're back at it today. Yankees, Blue Jays will be live for the watch party tonight. And yeah, we'll preview that more later on. But anyways, as I was mentioning, slow news day. So with that, we are going to react to the Aroldis Chapman news, which for those who did not see, and by the way, yo, I don't like to bring this up as a way of making anybody think an Aroldis Chapman trade is on the table. This was never going to happen. This isn't going to happen. He's never going to be a Yankee again. So that era is closed. That era is done. We know that. But just want to say that now ahead of time in case anybody has their hopes up for an Aroldis Chapman deal. Obviously, he's been very good with Boston. We know that. But I guess this got brought up by ESPN Deportes was asking him about the possibility of him getting traded because Boston obviously continues to, free fall. They've been terrible. So Chapman might get traded. It wouldn't be to us. The Yankees wouldn't be interested. And Chapman wouldn't be interested either, which, yo, we're good anyways. Anyways, here's what Chapman said. He goes, "What happened, happened. If something like this were to happen," referring to a possible trade back to the Yankees, he says, and quote, "I believe someone from this organization should apologize first." When asked if that person was Brian Cashman, Chapman said yes. This is all a bunch of, this is the rare time where we're doing some TMZ stuff on here, Chet. This is a whole lot of nothing because this was never going to happen. But the fact that it's a story does give us something to react to here. And just mention out there that, and for those who don't know, the way it ended his Yankee tenure in 2022 was he went totally MIA. Missed a mandatory workout, and he gave an excuse that Boone referred to as an unacceptable excuse. And Brian Cashman fined him for that workout. I don't know what happened like in between all that. I'm sure there was a little bit more to why Chapman has such hard feelings with the Yankees, but also this, I'm sure, is the reason why he missed that workout to begin with. Remember, not all of it was bad with Chapman. To be honest, like regular season Chapman was actually really good for us. And, you know, all this aside, Boston greatness aside, which he truly has gone to another level. Like, this is the best he's ever been. But even with us, there's bad moments that stick out. Obviously, game 7 of LCS, where he gave up the walk-off home run against Altuve, or what it was, game 6 in 2019. 2020, we all know the deal. There's moments that stand out that were bad. But Aroldis Chapman, the actual like regular season closer, was pretty damn good for us. Now, obviously, this will forever be a thing with every closer we have after Mo, that when a guy's not perfect, when a guy gives you, you know, even a slightest bit reason to sweat, we consider him to be bad. And I think that happened a lot with Aroldis Chapman. So let me be completely fair here. Like Chapman, when he was with the Yankees, wasn't a bad closer. He probably was one of the best closers we've had since Mo retired. I would say number one. We could probably do this little tier list ranking right now. Number one, the best Yankee closer since the departure of Mariano Rivera, I would say would be 2015 Andrew Miller, indisputably. Number two, 2024 Luke Weaver. Number three, probably Clay Holmes. And David Bednar ain't too bad either, contrary to popular belief. But anyways, nonetheless, I'm not using this as a reason to, you know, roast who Chapman was with the Yankees in terms of his regular season performance. Obviously, there's moments that stand out. in the postseason. That's not what this is about. Dude went MIA in 2022, totally disappeared. And obviously the Yankees have hard feelings towards him because of that. And, you know, Boone is very much a guy that will defend his players. Again, he called whatever Chapman's excuse was an unacceptable excuse. And I'm sure there was a little bit more of a rift between him and Cashman, whatever it may be. This was brought up by ESPN Deportes asking him about a possible return back to the Yankees, which again will never happen, was never on the table and won't happen. But he said, yeah, he would need an apology first from Brian Cashman. We don't give a damn, Chat. And I don't blame you if you don't give a damn about this story. I hardly give a damn. You can't tell by the way I'm talking, but it was a slow news day, so I wanted to mention it. This also goes back to like last year. He said, I guess somebody else asked him about it. I'm not sure why this is such a story all the time because nobody cares. But when asked last year about a possible return to the Yankees, he says, he said, I'd pack my things and go home. I'll retire right on the spot if this happens. I'm not crazy. Never again. Same here, brother. Like, no need to worry. You're good. We're good. Have a nice rest of your career, whatever it may be. He's going to get dealt somewhere. Now, ideally, it's because he is really good, better than he's ever been in the entire career. This is the best Royal Chemist ever pitched. Hopefully, he doesn't get traded to, you know, somebody in the American League, or maybe we would prefer that because I don't want him going to the Dodgers, but he will get traded to a contender because Boston is completely out of it. I mean, we can take a look at the standings for those who are unaware, who've been out of the loop. Boston has been a total S show, man. And it's past just the point of like, oh, bad record. They've been bad. There's no direction. You play Boston, and besides the uniform, you would not think you're playing Boston. I mean, it's a complete far removed situation than, you know, even myself who first started watching in 2011, as you all are well aware of by now, because I always say it. You know, I wasn't around for 04. I wasn't around for 07, but like, I still had the remnants of those teams. Like, I grew up with my first year watching Big Poppy, and, you know, Kevin Youkilis was still on the team. I obviously missed, you know, the Manny Ramirez days, but even so, like, 2018, I was able to witness that team. Like, Boston typically has a lineup that is, you know, you're very fearful of, and there's a respectable opponent when you're playing them. That's not the case now, and there's no, whether it be Jared Carrabas or whoever it may be, like, it's gotten bad. Obviously, the trade of Devers last year, everything we already kind of know, but it's getting worse. They fired Alex Cora a couple months ago. Anyways, the reason I bring that up is, like, Chapman will get traded. He'll get traded somewhere. We know it's not going to be to us, but I don't know. I just wanted to mention this on here because, like, you know, I had a couple dudes, and this is fine, like, tagging me in tweets saying, like, Dan, I want your reaction to this, which, word up. You know, I appreciate that. You know, store comes out, you want my reaction? Well, cool. Here's my reaction. It's a nothing burger, you know? Chapman, like, my morning show, I don't curse the morning show, but, like, respectfully, like, obviously, like, go F yourself. Like, I couldn't care less. With that in mind, let's move on, yo. Let's move on. It might be a quicker show today because we went live yesterday, and there hasn't been much that transpired besides, you know, the Chapman story, which is why we're leading with this and even talking about it to begin with. And everything in regards to the roster situation, I feel like we have covered at great length, and now we just kind of wait for the result. And of course, what I'm referring to is Jason Dominguez. It's on the table. He gets activated today. Now, quick little cliff notes on the whole thing. If you don't know, Dominguez being activated today means there has to be if he does get activated, whenever that may be, and then you have Stanton next week, but if Jason gets activated, one of Volpe, Schumann, or Spencer Jones has to go down. It can't be Max Schumann. I don't think it would be Spencer Jones, although for Dominguez, that might make sense because, you know, one of the two has to play every day, and the one who isn't, you figure would go down to AAA to get everyday reps. But also, this factors in Giancarlo Stanton returning next week as well. So assuming, let's just say, for argument's sake, Jason is returning, whether it's today or later, and you figure he will, whenever his rehab assignment is done. Although Spencer Jones has made that conversation very interesting because how he's looked. He's looked really good in his second stint since returning after the Judge injury. If it is going to be Jason up, Stanton up, which we know Stanton's inevitable, he will be back next week during the homestand, that's two roster spots to create. At the very least, one of them has to be Anthony Volpe because you can't send down Max Schumann. I would anticipate it's either going to be Volpe down for one, and if they do activate Jason, then Jones would go down. Or maybe they can come to the conclusion of Jason's rehab assignment would just keep Jones up, and then you would option Jason. But nonetheless, we've covered it at great length by now, so we don't got to do a full like deep dive on it. If you want more about that, like the last two shows, we've really speculated about what could happen. Now we just wait for the result, at least in regards to Dominguez, because Stanton will probably be at the earliest on Tuesday. We have this three-game set against Toronto starting up tonight, and then off on Monday. Tuesday, we have the White Sox in town, which will actually be a pretty exciting series because the White Sox have been one of the best stories in baseball this year. So Stanton is expected to return during the homestand. But for now, the roster question for today's conversation is, we will finally know if Jason will be back today in the series opener. If not, it could be a few days from now, but nonetheless, to put a bow in the conversation we've been having, at least speculative-wise, some very interesting decisions coming up for the Yankees, and that starts today with a possible activation of Jason Dominguez. But with that said, let's talk about the Yankees versus the Blue Jays. Now, obviously, we did face Toronto earlier this year at the stadium. We went up 2-0 in the series, and then they ended up taking the last two, and it was a split, four-game series split. This now, though, of course, our first time back in Toronto, back in the Rogers Center since Game 1 and Game 2 of the American League Division Series last year, which obviously we know, not to bring this up, but, you know, just telling the story. We were outscored 23-8 in those two games. And, you know, not to bring this up all the time, but I feel like I always bring it up all the time. You know, some of our pitchers were really not good. Max Fried, love him to death. He put up a clunker against Toronto, 7 earned runs. Game 1, and I like to bring this up, actually, because it shows a big difference between this year's team and last. Remember who was starting Game 1 of the American League Division Series last year against Toronto? It was Luis Gil. And I got nothing against Luis Gil personally. Good guy. But obviously, there's a big gap between Luis Gil being our Game 1 starter last year and who will be our Game 1 starter this year, or even our Game 4 starter. We know about the postseason rotation and how lethal it's expected to be and should be, barring, you know, knock on wood, any weird health concerns. But even by default, I mean, we could technically, and I don't want this to happen because I'm looking at Fried, Cole, Cam, Rodon in some order of that. I don't want this to happen. That's my four, but we could almost afford, like, I don't want to put that out in the air, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we have depth to where it's like, no matter what, we're so far removed to where we were last year, which was Luis Gil starting Game 1 of the American League Division Series. It wasn't just that, though. It wasn't just the starters. I mean, the offense certainly wasn't great in those two games. And, you know, just got to mention, obviously, Rodon was bad, but he had the bad elbow, so I can't blame him for that. And we did win that game because of the Judge homer. The bullpen was terrible, too, though. You know, I mean, Luke Weaver was awful. You know, Devin Williams, middle of all, were actually pretty decent in that series and down the stretch in general. But a lot of the issues that we had last year against the Blue Jays and the DS were pitching-based, especially in those two games against Toronto. Totally different teams now. And in fairness to the Blue Jays, I mean, they have been dealt a lot of injuries, as well as regression, which was expected. So it's kind of a combination of some tough luck, as well as maybe a legitimate World Series hangover. And a few things to go over here with Toronto. I mean, listen, let's acknowledge the one thing that is going well for them, which is something I was banking on not happening. In general, I thought regression would come, and it obviously has. Ernie Clement has not regressed. So credit where it's due. He has shut me up a little bit. He's having a good year. 118 WRC plus. He is sustaining what he put up last year, which was a great breakout season. He's doing that again. And we know he kills the Yankees. The Aaron Boone lookalike, for those who are trying to put name to face. Although we all know who Ernie Clement is, so I don't, you know, gotta say that. Vlad, though. Vlad is very interesting. Vlad has just three homers this season. Three homers all year, and he's been healthy. There's been a lot of guys that have been hurt. Alejandro Kirk being one of them. And he may be activated tonight. Alejandro Kirk could be possibly activated ahead of tonight's series opener against the Blue Jays. And I would anticipate if that's on the table, like they probably do pull the trigger on that. And, you know, he's one of the best catchers of baseball. They've had some other injuries as well. And Addison Barger is still on the injured list. George Springer was hurt earlier in the season. He had a fractured toe, but he's been back. And he's been bad. Hi, George. Got to watch how I talk about this. Just kidding. But no, 80 WRC plus on the season. He's hitting just 204. So a lot of the regression has taken place. Ernie Clement not being one of them. And Vlad's not somebody you would like. If I was a Blue Jays fan, the way I would talk about it if this were Blue Jays Avenue is you don't worry about Vlad. There's no reason to think he's, you know, just going to be ass now. But hey, over his last 30 games, Vlad, 643 OPS. On the season, we mentioned the three homers. On the season, just a 740 OPS overall for Vlad. And again, he's been healthy. They've had a lot of injuries, not him, at least as far as like any IL situation. I don't know, you know, the ins and outs. I don't watch him every single day. I think he had a hamstring scare or something, but he's been playing every day, and he hasn't been great. He's been pretty bad, actually, and the power has just disappeared. Now, again, like, I'm not banking on that going into this series, and that's kind of my overall thoughts entering tonight is, you know, as I put in the bottom thing here, like, how wide is the gap between these two teams right now? And granted, I think it was a lot less wide than the DS suggested it was last year to begin with, but obviously they've come back down to earth a little bit while dealing with some tough luck. But also, with a perfect example of that, like, that's baseball. You know, like, we're without Judge. We're without Max Fried. We're still in a position where, you know, we're tied for the best record in the American League. We're one of the best teams in baseball. And now we're proving we can beat good teams, by the way. Go take a look at the record against 500, which was such a fugazi stat that everybody kept mentioning. You know, all of a sudden, you know, we couldn't beat the Guardians, so people were acting like we're afraid of the Cleveland Guardians. And of course, we go out and sweep them. That's baseball, yo. But speaking of that, I do consider them still a dangerous team in a short series. And I do still, and I've got some pushback on this. Maybe as it goes on, I'll lessen my thoughts of, like, I've been saying a lot, like, the team that will threaten us still the most in the AL East is the Toronto Blue Jays. That's not me saying they're going to win the AL East. I'm not even saying it's going to be a close match, per se. I often would mention the Blue Jays when talking about the Rays and how I don't think what they've been doing is sustainable. And they've been falling back down to earth, although they did just sweep the Red Sox. Whatever. I believe firmly that the Blue Jays will make the playoffs, and part of that's because of the American League is so bad. And I believe they'll finish second in the AL East. So in terms of who's our biggest threat, more so like if I had to choose one in the East, it would still be Toronto. But I'd be lying if I said I was worried about them right now, long term, in terms of threatening us in the division. In a series, though, and a big part of this is, granted, we don't know their starters yet, by the way. Again, if you guys have any word on who's starting any of these games for Toronto, please do let me know. Because it's all listed as TBD, and I couldn't find anything on Twitter. But, you know, Dylan Cease, that was their big offseason acquisition, one of them at least. They also had, you know, Cody Ponce, and he's done for the year. That was a tough blow. Kazuma Okamoto, he's been healthy, but not that great. He got off to a good start, but his OPS now is in the low 700s. He hasn't been playing well. But Dylan Cease was, like, their big fish this winter, and he's been good. He's been one of the better pitchers in the American League. And, you know, Kevin Gausman is still doing his thing. Trey Savage, he had an injury early on. He came back. I think it's when his first or second starts were against us. He's been good. So their starting rotation, Cease isn't pitching in this series. We don't know the rest of the starters or who's going at all in any of these games. But in terms of just the outlook on Toronto, like, I believe they'll still be good enough. They will still be good enough to get into the playoffs given the American League and how weak it is. And if it's as a wildcard team, which I anticipate it obviously will be, knock on wood. Now, I'm not going to say that. The only reason I mentioned that is because, you know, obviously this time last year they weren't in a great spot either, but whatever. Their rotation, their starters are good enough to where, whether it be in a regular season series or come October, you should not count out the Toronto Blue Jays. And then at some point, you figure Vlad's power will return. I mean, almost definitely it will. And entering this series tonight to keep it home to, you know, what we got to deal with, which is this three games in Toronto, you're not going to rule out Vlad owning the Yankees. He always does. So in terms of a short series come October, or even this one that we're playing right here with them still scuffling, I consider them still a dangerous team. And maybe it's because, you know, we're going to be in Toronto. Maybe it's PTSD from last year. But whatever the reason being, despite how bad they have been, I still have them slightly in the back of my head as like a team to take seriously. And I think that is the right approach. Now, obviously, I'm on the team, so whatever I say doesn't actually make an impact. But I would like to think, you know, coming off of last year and, you know, same unit running it back. And one of the many benefits of running back we've talked about is, you know, battle tested. They've been through it together. They know what to expect going into the new year, whether it be how to close out series, which is a thing that we heard from the very get-go. Doesn't mean it's going to work out all the time, but the mindset going into, you know, we got to finish off series or got to make sure we don't get swept or not make sure like the June swoon doesn't happen, which still remains to be seen, but we're, you know, starting to trend okay in that direction. One day at a time without Judge, we're still doing that. And Yankees are surviving right now without Judge. Talked about it yesterday, 4-1 since he was officially placed on the IL. I think we all would have signed up for that when we got the news on Thursday night last week. But anyways, like going into this series and especially going into Toronto, I would like to think like everybody got a good sleep last night and everybody went to bed thinking like, yo, we got to make sure despite how bad they have been that we're not going to take them lightly. And then we're going to come in here and at the very least, obviously, you better not get embarrassed like they did last year in Toronto all the time. Like that is a non-starter. That's obvious. Shouldn't even have to be said. And I don't think it does have to be said. But on the flip, like go in there and not only just obviously hold your own, win the series, take care of business, go in there and like kick some freaking ass is the way I see it. And I would like to think, even though, you know, Judge and Stanton are on the IL, like there should be a nice little, not to overthink this series too much, but, you know, we always talk about it, like we're live every single day. So naturally you're going to break things down to this level. I would like to think, you know, little pre-game meeting or something like that, or a little FaceTime call last night, if they're not going to be with them, Judge and Stanton, to be like, yo, let's not play around here. Because last year, obviously, as we know, was quite humiliating, and it was another year of torture, and it was this time caused by the Toronto Blue Jays, and of course, torture, I'm referring to just not getting the job done every single year, and last year was especially frustrating because, you know, it kind of brought back the feeling of when we faced the Astros, and they would always, you know, kick our ass, and just, it was an extra layer of humiliation past just the default humiliation, which was always just, you know, getting bounced in the playoffs and not getting the job done, and another year of getting your hopes up the postseason, it all comes crashing down. It coming crashing down at a team that you do hate, at least we as fans do. And I would like to think the Yankees, this roster does as well. Like, there should be a little bit extra fuel to the fire going into this series, which, again, naturally, division rival, even take out last year, like, they don't need me to say this. They're not listening to me right now. But like, I would like to think, again, everybody made sure if they don't already every single night got a good sleep. And if there's 5 out of the 7 days where they drink a Red Bull before the series, and like that's, they're like, all right, lock in, here we go. Or anything they do, pregame ritual that maybe, you know, on an afternoon game, series finale, they don't follow that same ritual because it's like, all right, we're playing well, we take care of business, we should win this game. Check every box going to this series. Good sleep, energy drink. Whatever your thing is, each player on the Yankee team, like tonight's starting is Ryan Weathers. Like, he was on the team last year, of course, but I guess my point is here is quite obvious. Like, I anticipate the Yankees, and I expect the Yankees to be locked in for every pitch of this series, every game of this series, every time you face Toronto, and, you know, ideally this should be the case every single day, but that kind of goes in the conversation of, like, you should hustle out every single play. Well, that's not how it goes. That is how it should go this series and every time you face Toronto. So I'm geared up for this series. I'm quite excited, even with, you know, them being in the position that they're at, which is 9 games back of us. Am I worried about them long term? I'd be lying if I said I was. And I know they're in the same spot that, you know, kind of this same vibe last year where they off to a brutal start. But, you know, that's why it was so important, I think, for them to win the World Series last year, which, of course, they did. And by the way, Jeff Hoffman is no longer the closer, for those who don't know. He has been dreadful. He's been removed from the closer role. He's been absolutely brutal. And with that, Louis Varland, who, you know, Judge, that's the one that Judge hit the homer off last year, he's taken over as closer. He's been terrific. So their pitching has actually been still pretty damn good, even despite, you know, their Jeff Hoffman, their closer being terrible. Like, you know, they still got a rotation that you should relatively fear, or you should fear, like, take them seriously. So I'm not going to say that it's like they're a complete and total, you know, slot fest over there. But in a short series, I still consider them to be a team that, like, yo, am I a little bit nervous going to this? Yeah, sure, because I don't think they're as bad as they have played. And again, Alejandro Kirk is probably getting activated off the IL tonight. At least that's the vibe. That's what it sounds like. At least it's on the table. And you would think if it's on the table, now would be the time to activate him. So I guess this all kind of just comes back to more so one day at a time. We're without Judge. Yanks got to take every single game seriously. And the Blue Jays are a team to still take seriously despite their struggles. And I don't want to all of a sudden come out of this weekend when we're live again on Monday being like, this series got away from us. Because it's not a series that should get away from you at all. The Yankees are better than the Blue Jays. The Yankees have had a better season than the Blue Jays. It's baseball, obviously, but as we kind of talked about yesterday in a very different topic about like the trade deadline, by default, you know, there's always a bit of this that's left up to chance because the sport and what it is. Remove every other factor, though. The only chance that should be allowed in this series going in is the fact that it is indeed baseball and like weird things can happen. But that goes to, of course, the defense. There were a lot of defensive miscues last year against Toronto and in Toronto. It's going to be rocking tonight. We know that. I'm not trying to overhype this in terms of like what the vibe is going to be. And like, nobody should be like scared of the Blue Jays, but I kind of like talking about the games in these ways. Like, it's very much a storyline for me, at least heading into tonight. It's like, yeah, Yanks are back in Toronto, the place where they got their ass kicked last year in the regular season and in the postseason. Yanks are a completely different team than the one that we fielded last year in the DS. So are the Blue Jays. But I'm still going to take them pretty seriously. And I don't want it to be a thing where, again, come Monday, I'm talking about us, for some reason, whatever it may be, drop 2 out of 3, which is possible. Do everything you can to make sure that doesn't happen. And that goes back to what we were saying before. Check every single box, which, you know, we're already kind of into that. I assume everybody got a nice good sleep last night. Us as well, chat. We got to be locked in and ready to go. We'll be live tonight for the watch party, of course. First pitch tonight is at 7:37. Let me just check again and see if there's any updates on the starting pitching matchups. Again, for us, Ryan Weathers is going tonight, and he's been scuffling a little bit lately, so hopefully he bounces back tonight. Still looking good, though, so I'm not like worried about Weathers, but he has been having a few rough outings. Tomorrow in Game 2 will be Cam Schlittler, and Sunday, Will Warren. But yeah, I don't have nothing on the Blue Jays starters, but if you guys throw it in the chat, I'll be able to see it afterwards. We'll know soon, but anyways, nonetheless, I'm pumped. Yankees, Blue Jays in Toronto, and we've been playing good ball. We could put the Blue Jays now aside and just talk in general. That was a very important series win, series sweep against the Guardians. The first two were nail biters. They were thrilling. They were stressful. Game 3, not so much. But ultimately, all that matters is you win games, however it comes. More often than not, though, it's going to take, obviously, the defaults. Good pitching, not making too many defensive miscues, which the Yankees did have some errors defensively. And we'll see what the corresponding move is for possibly Jason Dominguez activation tonight, which, you know, the domino effect of that activation could possibly improve us defensively, believe it or not. You guys know I'm not one to pick on Volpe or nothing like that, but we have a better shortstop who's playing right field. And of course, if Jason were to be activated, corresponding move aside, you want Jose Caballero in the lineup, and he's not going to be able to be playing right field because either Jason or Jones will be. So we've covered all that at length by now. Now we just wait for the result. But I think that's kind of where we're at. Shorter show today because there wasn't too much news coming off the off day yesterday. But that's like all I got for this show. Of course, again, we're live Monday through Friday, Morning Yankees show. Tier list is out. Put that out yesterday. And any other housekeeping notes? The giveaway shirts, which we announced the other day, will be, I believe, shipped out today, I think. Yeah, Friday. I think they're being shipped out today. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. Everybody who did win, I'll be sending out like track information and all that. For those who did not see, a few of you guys have already gotten back to me, but the winners were at mthrot484, Joe Knott, for Joe, you know who I know who you are, at Casey Jeffries, and at Zed Gamble. I think two of the four have gotten back to me, Joe and Casey, because they're homies, and they're always in the chat. Shout out to Joe and Casey. But the other two don't, which, by the way, email me, dan@yankeesavenue.com, and we'll get your shipping information, shirt size, all that. But anyways, those will be shipped out today. Nonetheless, though, if you don't mind, leave a like on the stream. I'll see you guys later tonight for the watch party, 7:37 first pitch. We'll probably live right around 7 o'clock, I would imagine, for a little bit of a pregame. Obviously, I'm back home today at my folks' house, but I'm going to be headed back up north for the watch party. So assuming I get back in a timely manner, we'll be live, I think, for a pregame around 7 o'clock. But anyways, that's all I got. Again, quicker show today. Sorry about that, but short news day. We led with Aroldis Chapman, so that kind of speaks for itself. And that's all I got. Stay tuned, for the roster news. If Jason is indeed activated today, of course, I'll have all that on the YouTube community page, Yankees Avenue on Instagram, Facebook. You guys know the deal. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you later for the watch party. Let's go, Yanks.